And that's what we're going to do in this little series over Advent, just some short reflections on each of those names, each of those titles, if you like, that are offered by Isaiah for the Messiah. So this long-awaited Messiah that was to come that we know as Jesus, these were the names, some of the names that were given to him. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And what we're going to think about as we work our way through these names is, first of all, how do I respond to Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor, or the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace? And then secondly, who can I introduce to Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace? So there'll be a challenge to each of us to see who it is that God is drawing us to share that Jesus character with this Advent and Christmas season. So we're going to begin this morning with this long-awaited Messiah, Jesus, this long-awaited Saviour, the Wonderful Counselor. I wonder, have you ever found yourself indecisive, totally indecisive? Hopefully some nodding is going to happen. Oh no, I'm the only one, I don't know. Overwhelmed by something that people call decision fatigue. Have you heard of that? Have you heard of decision fatigue? Sometimes we get that, don't we? We can't make our minds up. In small, everyday kinds of decisions, but also in the big, major life choices. Shall I wear this or that? Shall I eat this or eat that? Shall I stay in this house, this flat, or shall I look for somewhere new, better, more appropriate? Shall I spend this money? Shall I save it? Shall I speak to this person and pursue this relationship? Or shall I step away? Shall I ignore the niggly pain in my knee or make a GP appointment? This type of tiredness around making decisions describes you. If it describes you, then you are not alone. Decision fatigue is well known. It's a type of exhaustion that we feel when we're faced with decisions and choices. And it was well documented during that COVID-19 period when we had lockdowns. I read a few articles about this. We were suddenly landed in a situation where we had lost our daily routines and habits. And that meant that our decision making, at least around the little things, was no longer automated. It wasn't automatic to us. Black trousers or pajamas, supermarket shop before or after work. Suddenly, we had to make conscious decisions and choices which previously would likely have been so obvious and automatic that we wouldn't have even thought consciously about them. So there's social media, if we have phones that do that kind of thing, 24/7 news, 24/7 advertising. They've left us with hundreds and hundreds of choices even before breakfast. And the experts say that the building up effect of all these seemingly important micro decisions means that when it comes to the bigger decisions of life, we often end up totally paralyzed emotionally and mentally exhausted. But actually, I think it's not that new. I think there's something in the human condition that permeates, that carries through all time, and is at the root of this so-called modern phenomenon of decision fatigue. I read a BBC News article recently about decision making, and there was a guy called Kit Yates who wrote it, and he is a professor of maths at the University of Bath, and he wrote this. If you're anything like me, then you might experience mild analysis paralysis when choosing what to order from an extensive menu. I'm so indecisive, Kit writes, that when the waiter often has to come back after a few minutes of taking everyone else's order in order to finally hear mine. Many of the choices seem good, but by trying to ensure that I select the absolute best, I run the risk of missing out altogether. I'm going to read that last bit to you again. By trying to ensure that I choose the absolute best, I run the risk of missing out altogether. We can all experience that indecisiveness, can't we, when we're faced with a handful of equally appetizing food choices. But what if there's something deeper behind that? What if at the root of it all, we're always desperately trying to get the best, as Kit was saying? What if the reason for our indecision is that the desire is our own human greed and hunger for total control and total autonomy? The reason that we can't decide, we want to decide, but we can't, is because we're worried we won't be satisfied. It's because we're worried that we won't get what we want or what we need, or that somehow we'll have less control. The root of our decision fatigue, I would suggest, is our desire to go it alone, to be in control, to be king or queen of our own lives. But the truth is that we were never meant to operate alone. We were never meant to just try and figure life out all by ourselves. Jesus said these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I think we're exhausted, decision fatigue, not just from having to make so many decisions and not being able to do it, but we're exhausted from the root of our indecision, our desire to be in control and to serve ourselves. And that root is sin. That root is rebellion against God. Isaiah reminds us that Jesus comes as the wonderful counselor to remove from us the burden of the root of our selfishness, that autonomous behavior, and he comes to give us rest, freedom from sin and rest for our souls. Not so that we can become kind of robotic sheep, just blindly asking him whether to buy a new blue or red toothbrush, but so that on a much deeper level, we can experience deep rest for our souls, a soul set free from the burden of trying to do the right thing, but very often doing the wrong thing. The fact of the human condition is that we think we know best. Reality tells us a very different story. Later on in Isaiah, in chapter 40, he says this, some rhetorical questions. "Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding?" God is the one who's ultimately wise, isn't he? Jesus, who's described as the wonderful counselor, doesn't need us to tell him how to operate or what to do. He doesn't need us to advise him on how to act in our lives. Instead, he invites us gently to hand him the burden of our sin, to let go of the delusion that we know best, and in full submission receive true rest and genuine counsel from him, the wonderful counselor. So I've already told you that Advent is a season of waiting for the coming of Jesus, but it's also a time for reflection, a time to take our time and to listen to wise counsel as we anticipate the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. How will we respond? How will you respond? How will I respond to Jesus, the wonderful counselor, this Advent season? When and where will you seek his counsel and his advice? Will you let him bear the burden of your sin? Will I let him bear the burden of my sin? And then who will you introduce to Jesus, the wonderful counselor, this Advent season? Who amongst your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues, your family members needs to hear the good news of a savior who is a wonderful counselor, who can offer the best advice and help, but even better than that, can bear the burden of their worst, bear the burden of our worst, and give rest that we've never experienced before? This is our challenge this morning. to ask the Holy Spirit for faith and for boldness, maybe to take a Christmas invite and to tell somebody about a wonderful counselor that you've met, Jesus, the wonderful counselor, and to invite them to meet him for themselves, not just as that tiny baby that was born in Bethlehem, but as the one who came, who's the savior of the world. Invite them to meet him at maybe one of our Christmas services next month. Let's pray together.